And as promised, Hezbollah Secretary General Seyed Hassan Nasrallah has given a speech. Let's take a listen.
And Sheikh Raghib and Haj Imad, before and after, they didn't speak about a vision which says that Israel would leave the South. They said that Israel will end, will cease to exist. And at that time, the Israelis occupied our territories and imprisoned our men and women. And we were in a state of weakness, they were in a state of strength. In this way, we get a vision and we get confidence and hope. What is more important is to learn from them loyalty, honesty, and to be at the level of responsibility, to be up to the responsibility of preserving the achievements of the martyrs and the resistance fighters, and up to the responsibility of confronting the difficult current challenges and the responsibility of drawing a dignified future for our people and our nation and for our ummah. For this reason, we are always keen, we always speak about their behavior, about their ethics, about what they did, about their jihad, about their sacrifices, in order to learn from them, in order for our sons and for our grandchildren and the generations to learn from them. This is something we must be very much focused on and pay attention to with all the martyrs when, throughout the year, in our media, in the Muqawama media, when we display their names and their lives and also what they have stated. It's because they really represent a school, a complete school of jihad and school of thinking, which we must get to know. For 33 years, up until today, a generation of youth, at that time they were youth, 18, 19, 20, 21, 22, 25 at the most, from religious clerics and mujahideen and men and women, and they took responsibility and they stepped forward. Some of them were martyred on the road, on the path, and some of them had a long journey on the path of jihad, and they put up with difficulties and wounds, and they were killed after suffering from sickness. Many of our high-ranking officials, the last of them was a very important leader, a beloved leader amongst the most prominent leaders of resistance, Haj Mustafa Shahadi, may God have mercy on his soul. Some were imprisoned and suffered in the prisons of the enemy. Some were wounded and are still being treated for their wounds. And some are still continuing on the same path and sacrificing or risking their blood. The main issue regarding this first generation, and Sayyid Abbas and Sheikh Raghib and Haj Imad were part of this first generation, and Yasir, the main issue of this first generation is that amongst the faithful there are men who lived up to the promise of God. Some left this life and some are still waiting. And after them came a generation of youth and the sons of the first generation who also pledged and lived up to the pledge, and many of them were martyred. The last of them were those who fell in the Quneitra operation, in the Israeli aggression on Quneitra. And the sons of the first generation as well, they greatly contributed in bringing about victories. The commemoration, the anniversary of the leaders of the martyrs comes this year at a time where is a witness. A witness to what I'm saying. From this podium, the son of Imad Mughniyeh, Jihad Mughniyeh, he stood at this podium, pledged allegiance, and he declared his affiliation, his identity, and he announced his choice out of his own free will, and nobody forced him to do so. He could have continued his university studies, a young person whose future was ahead of him, his life ahead of him, the whole world was ahead of him, but the son of Haj Imad, who carries within him the spirit of Haj Imad and the soul of Haj Imad and the knowledge and the love of Haj Imad, he left all of this. And where did he go? He went to the Golan Heights, to Quneitra, to that place. And the end was his martyrdom. This is a situation of our martyrs, the son of the martyrs. Jihad Bughniyi, his blood just days ago, together with the blood of his colleagues in Quneitra, this blood reinvigorated the memory of Hajj Imad Bughniyi. It reinvigorated once again. We sensed at that moment that once again Imad Bughniyi had been martyred. This sense in the spirit, the people sense this, the people, that's the way they are dealt with it. And it brought back this leader, this historic leader, it brought him back to be at the top of the events, and it stressed that his memory is at the top and that his presence really is the strongest. Whether it be regarding the enemy or the friend, the blood of Imad Bughniyi is still hunting down this enemy, and the blood of Imad Bughniyi will continue to hunt down this enemy. Brothers and sisters, on this great beloved day for us, and for the sake of the martyrs and also for the sake of responsibility, we will take a look at some issues which concern us in Lebanon and some issues which concern us in the region. First of all, let's speak about some issues related to Lebanon, and then we'll address issues related to the region. First of all, on the occasion of these days, the days of February, and the events which took place in this month, especially the 14th of February, I would like to address the family of the martyr Prime Minister Rafiq Hariri and his supporters and his movement. I would also like to express to them our solidarity and our condolences because of this very painful incident which shook Lebanon and the region, and its repercussions are still present today. And also I would like to extend my condolences to the families and the beloved of all the martyrs who fell on that day, be it men or women who fell in that very painful incident and very dangerous incident. Second, in light of the danger of terrorism which threatens the region and which threatens Lebanon and the region, we in Hezbollah on this day also, we support the call to put together a national strategy to fight terrorism. And I believe that the Lebanese political factions and the Lebanese leaders can agree, and this might not be very difficult, might not be as difficult as the national defense strategy to confront Israel, because we may agree on the enemy being terrorism, but unfortunately disagree about the enemy being Israel, unfortunately. Anyway, without making such comments, we support the call to put together a national strategy to fight terrorism. Now, how can we do this? We will take the result of the bullets, if shots have been fired or not. You here, you shouldn't have heard anything. I must also express my thanks to all of those people in southern Beirut and in all the suburbs and areas who showed commitment regarding the call I made not to shoot on this occasion of my speech, not to shoot bullets or open fire. This is what I expected. This is what I expect from you always. And between brackets, we must cooperate in order to put an end to this. Firing shots. It's not that every ceremony we should issue a statement and say, please don't open fire. This is something which we must all cooperate, whether it be in the funerals of the martyrs, in different ceremonies. This is an old tradition in Lebanon. We in the media, politically, we must cooperate to put an end to this. So I thank all those who responded positively and were committed. I thank you very much. So we support putting together a national strategy to fight terrorism. Now, who will do this? Will it be the government, the parliament? Will a national dialogue session be held? This must be followed up. It requires further talks, but in principle, we support this call. The third point is that related to the security plan in the Bekaa. We repeat our complete unlimited support for this plan, and we consider that it came late, and we also call for continuing this plan and further invigorating, further enhancing it. The Bekaa region suffered from looters, from criminals, people who spread havoc, people who kidnap for ransom, people who also intimidate and terrorize people. And so I hope we have overcome this stage. Between brackets, maybe there were some demands made by people that we, should we take responsibility, Hezbollah, the Amal movement, the political factions in the Bekaa. This was not appropriate. I'd like to tell the people in the Bekaa, this is not appropriate, neither now or in the future. What is appropriate is that the state is more capable, and that's its responsibility. And we must all support and stand behind the army and the security services and the government in order to control the security situation, and therefore the security plan requires a continuation. It was said that those who are wanted have fled. Okay, let the army and security services, let them keep them eyes open, let them continue with this serious approach, say they cannot come back. As long as they are outside the area, then the area will be free from the looters and those people, and those people also must not be dealt with lightly in the future. In addition to the security plan in the Bekaa, we are in need of two main issues or two main steps. The first is the step about growth in the Bekaa and development. If the state wants to impose its security, its security service and army is not enough. There must also be growth, development, employment opportunities, water, electricity, everything possible so that those honorable people can live in dignity and stay in their lands. Bekaa, especially Baalbek, especially the north, and Akkar, these areas are in need of growth, are in need of the hand of growth and development. And the state must extend support in this regard. The second issue is to solve the problem of those who are wanted and have an arrest warrant issued against them for very silly reasons, and their warrant has expired, the time frame has expired. This is something which must not continue. 10,000 people being wanted for very small, trivial reasons. There's a third main point, which is a milestone, a very important milestone. I don't want to speak about it in detail. I refer to it. This milestone will come when the snow melts. Today, on the eastern mountain range, on the other side, on the hills in the Arsal area, we have ISIL and al-Nusra. ISIL, which extends from Libya up till the Arsal outskirts. Now we have snow, we have storms, we have certain climate conditions which have prevented confrontation. But when the snow melts, something should happen. The state must make its decision. So must the people. How will they deal with this danger and this threat which is present on the hills and mountains, which threatens the villages and threatens everyone? Of course, people can have a stance, and very simply, when we speak about the region, I'll go back to that, they can easily defeat these groups, but it requires a decision and a national will.